1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen. Thank you for joining us. Well, we know now the Trump administration is taking a whole different approach in dealing with illegal immigration than we saw under the Obama presidency. Let's get a reaction to what it could mean to the Latino community here in Michigan. William Lopez with us, a postdoctoral fellow at the University of Michigan School of Social Work, where he co-authored a community health survey of Latinos in Washtenaw County. And we're also joined by Lana LeBron, a University of California, Irvine assistant professor in public health and also the Chicano Latino Studies. Great to have you both on WILS.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, William, I'm curious, first of all, what do you think this is going to do here in Michigan to the Latino community, this new approach to dealing with undocumented immigrants?
Well, yeah, sure. It's a good question. So what we saw under President Obama was a large amount of immigration enforcement, right? To be sure, Obama deported quite a few people. What we're seeing under President Trump is a shift to deportations without prosecutorial discretion. So what we're seeing is folks being rounded up without questioning their background or any of their legal history. And what this does is just increase fear in communities. It's less predictable. You don't know what spaces are safe. There's this sense that folks do not know who to trust.
Yeah, but those that say, look, they're not supposed to be in the U.S., what do you say to that?
Right. I mean, you hear that a lot. And what we need to understand is that folks are here for many reasons. And once they're here, it's simply better for the country and better for them if our laws are fair and just and proportional to the law that's being broken. Mm-hmm. What often happens is that the law that's broken is somebody crossed into the border a decade or so ago, and now we're trying to arrest, raid their homes, and deport them. So there's nothing proportional about the punishment coming from their infraction.
Okay. Alana, what's the reaction in California so far to the Trump administration's new approach?
There are quite a range of reactions, I would say. A lot of local advocacy in support of our immigrant and mixed status communities in California. I'm sure that folks have also heard of the uptick in immigration-related raids that at the moment seem to really be led by federal immigration enforcement agencies.
So, I mean, how should we deal, Lana, with the issue? I mean, if we're going to take a stance against illegal immigration, what should we be doing?
We should be starting from a point of understanding that these are members of our communities, that enhanced immigration enforcement practices tend to actually have adverse consequences for our communities as a whole, for individuals, and for families. What we know from the emerging literature with respect to immigration enforcement and health and engagement with service-providing bureaucracies mm-hmm. is that a climate of heightened immigration enforcement often enhances the level of vigilance or reticence that communities bring towards mm-hmm. a host of service-providing institutions.
So what's the other option, to not enforce?
The other option is to embrace the residents of our communities and ensure that they can have a more meaningful engagement.
Okay, so do you believe, let me ask you this, Lana, do you believe that we need to address the illegal immigration issue at all? Or?
That's a really complex question. I would argue that even prior to a lot of the recent executive orders and policy rhetoric, there's been a substantial increase in immigration enforcement, both border enforcement and interior immigration-related enforcement. Okay. I propose that we take a moratorium on this and we pause to really understand the important roles of immigrants in our communities and ways in which their lives are firmly embedded with children of immigrants.
Right, but fair enough. But we're not talking about immigrants. We're talking about those that are immigrated here illegally, right? Is there a distinction there for you?
Oh, absolutely. This notion of being in the United States without authorized presence is socially constructed. We have to recognize that there, throughout our history, we've had folks who have had more favorable opportunities to establish themselves and their families in the United States, and that there's been a social turn and political turn in this tide and this opportunity.
Okay. Alana LeBron, University of California, Irvine, also William Lopez, University of Michigan here on WILS. So, William, how much of an effect is this? Well, in terms of the impact of the Latino community and especially the undocumented Latino community in Michigan, how big is it? Do we have any idea?
So we don't know numbers of undocumented populations in individual places, individual communities, but we do tend to know per state. But part of the issue here is that we keep separating these communities into undocumented and to folks who are documented for whatever reason. That's actually not how communities are on the ground, right?
But what do you mean for whatever reason? Isn't that a key distinction?
Well, when we're thinking about the effects on communities, you know, then we need to think about what these communities look like. So undocumented folks are connected in various ways to people, marriage, work, children, to folks who are citizens, to folks who are visa holders, et cetera. So enforcing immigration law doesn't just affect the undocumented folks in our communities, but affects the entire community.
Mm-hmm. Those that say the real issue are the actual employers, the fact that we need to institute rules to prevent employers from actually being able to hire undocumented workers. What do you think of that approach?
Yeah, you know, I think it's the beginning of the direction we need to go. So what we're doing is criminalizing the people who are the most vulnerable in these situations, which are undocumented folks. Mm-hmm. So when we think a little bit more about this, we're thinking, oh, maybe the fault actually stands with the folks who are hiring them. But if we kind of keep going up and questioning where these laws are coming from, as Alana referred to, this is socially constructed in the sense that we've often welcomed immigrants into our communities. You look at the Bracero movement after World War II, folks were welcomed into their communities, did work here, and then we turned around in Operation Wetback and deported them.
So do you think is E-Verify the solution in your view?
So I think it's important to think of what is systemically the way to change and welcome more folks, both because folks want to work and because we want them to work, that perhaps the law even higher than E-Verify, right? So perhaps the policies at the federal level or the state level are what we should be debating.
Okay, but in general, do you support the E-Verify idea?
I think it's, again, a complicated question. I need to think about it a little bit more.
Interesting, because that sounds like you don't support it, right?
It's an interesting question. I think I need to think about it a little more.
Yeah. Okay. Alana LeBron, tell me this, Alana. Well, what do you think? Do you think E-Verify would largely solve our problem?
I echo William Lopez and think that it's a really complicated question. I would just offer a reminder that we recently experienced a day without immigrants, really showing the importance of immigrant communities and immigrant workers in our day-to-day lives. Just a few years ago, several immigrant farm workers offered their jobs for a day to anyone who was willing to work on the farms. Mm. And it turned out that very few people turned up, indeed, to work the farms, to engage in the labor that undocumented immigrants often engage in. So this notion that immigrants, or specifically undocumented immigrants, are quote-unquote taking our jobs, and that this is their location in the employment structure is problematic, is one that we really need to take a pause and reflect upon.
Okay. Now, if we really do begin to more aggressively deport, what happens? I mean, what typically happens when we deport people from the U.S.? Do they come back, or what occurs?
Oh, there's a range of responses. Folks may come back. Folks often get deported to places that they haven't been to, right? So many folks have been in the U.S. for 10, 15 years. Find themselves put in communities that they're not familiar with, sometimes even with languages that aren't their first language. So the damage is done on multiple levels, both to the communities and families from which they're removed, and also to the individual. Sometimes folks come back, sometimes they stay in other countries and start lives elsewhere. What we see often is folks having to decide how they are using their income. Are they preparing for deportation? Are they investing? Are they saving? You know, and this stops folks from being able to invest and to build a life here in the United States.
Alana LeBron, University of California, Irvine, an assistant professor there of Chicano Latino Studies. Also, William Lopez, postdoctoral fellow at the University of Michigan School of Social Work, both right here on 1320 WILS. William and Alana, thank you both very much.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And we are coming right back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.